and made a huge transformation, and what a blessing to be able to work together and accomplish something like that. Thanksgiving. Traditionally, it's a time to celebrate, I guess, from its roots as the harvest, right? And that's why we have this up here, the wheat and, you know, some vegetables and stuff. But how much more thankful should we be as believers? Because not only are we thankful that, you know, our needs are provided for, but we also know the one who provides those needs, God, and we can give thanks directly to him. And what a blessing. And not only that, but he doesn't just provide for our needs in this lifetime, but he provides for our needs, spiritual needs, in the lifetime to come. And we can truly be thankful for that. And we'll be celebrating that later on this morning through communion. And so we can just remind ourselves of that during the service, just how much more we have to be thankful for on this day. A few announcements this morning. Kyle's back from hunting. We announced last week that he was mouse hunting instead of moose hunting, and it turned out to be true because they didn't get anything, but they shot a mouse. So you can ask Kyle about that story later. They actually did shoot a mouse. Pastor Gord's away this morning because they just had a granddaughter born up in Fort St. John, Becky and Robert. It was on Saturday morning, early 3 o'clock in the morning. Her name is Lena Brooke Elsa Bertram, and 7 pounds, 14 ounces. So we can make sure to congratulate Gord and Ruth when they get back. As well for announcements, I encourage everyone just to read their bulletins to know what's going on in the church. We have lots of exciting things happening this year and lots of things that we would love you to be a part of and get involved in the church. One thing that isn't in the bulletin that missed the bulletin was there's a 50-plus event coming up here. It's at the end of the month, October 28th. That's a Sunday, and it's at 5 p.m., and that's out at Walton Chan Glover's house. More details will be in the bulletin next week for contact information, but if you want to mark that on your calendar. So that's a 50 over 50 event. As well, October 14th, any committee leaders or elders of the church, we want to have a lunch together and just discuss how we can pray together more for the church and how we can meet the needs of the church more and work together better. As well, you may have noticed in the foyer, the food bank boxes are back there. We're trying to get some canned goods and some other items to donate to the food bank as a church. So you have till October 14th to bring those in and just put them in the foyer by those boxes. And there's a list as well back there of the things that are the most pressing needs at the food bank at this time. So you can take a look at that. As well, if you're new here this morning or new the last couple of weeks and you want to get involved in the church and or you just want to, you know, have contact with the church or give us your info, the Rocky Alliance communicators in your bulletin this morning, make sure to fill that out so we can know who you are and get to know you. And as far as announcements are concerned, I think that's it. We're going to call the ushers up this morning and take this morning's offering. Oh, sorry. Tuesday night, we're going to put back together the floor in the basement. We had another flood issue. And so Tuesday night, if you're available, 7 p.m., come out and help put that back in. We're hoping to get it done if we have enough guys. It should only take an hour to 2 hours. And the music schedules are in the mailboxes in the back for people who are involved in music. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the joy it is to serve you, the joy it is to worship you this morning, to come together for the purpose of giving you glory and praise, Lord. You are more than worthy of all our glory we can give, all the honor we can give. And Lord, we lift you up. And Lord, we thank you for how you provided for us. Thanksgiving is another reminder to us to be thankful, Lord, but help us to be thankful every day of the year just for your provision, Lord, and most importantly, how you provided for us on the cross through your Son, Jesus, that we can have eternal life if we put our trust and hope in him. So thank you for this offering you're going to provide the church and help us to use it wisely for your glory and your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
call up Steve. Just gonna, I thought maybe a lot of you might not know who Steve is, so I thought I'd introduce him officially and read the passage aloud for him. He has trouble reading, so gonna help him out. Steve's, you can stand up here, Steve. Okay. Steve Bainbridge is going to preach for us this morning. He's a friend of mine, and he's also an elder in the church. And so before we pray for the message, I want to read you the passage that he's going to be speaking from this morning, Ezekiel chapter 3. And if you could turn there, I'm going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 and 21. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. And I'll read and you can follow along with me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. So just ask Steve to come up. I'm going to pray for you, Steve. And I find this this is a privilege to pray for Steve. I know I preach often, so I don't get introduced, and no one prays for me right before I speak. But this in no way means just pray for people that don't speak often. Please pray for guys like myself that speak too. And right now we're going to bless Steve as he presents the word. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we lift up Steve this morning. Thank you that you've gifted him and called him to preach your word, Father, this morning as he presents to us and just exposes what we've read through your word. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill him. We pray that you would keep him humble, and Lord, that he would be able to show us who you are through your word. Pray also, Lord, that our hearts would be open. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Would you humble our hearts, cause us to submit to your word, to see it, and Father, we're asking this of you. We know we ask anything according to your will. You hear us and you answer. So, Father, we thank you, and we pray this blessing on this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Well, hopefully everybody can hear me. I pulled this off about three times during worship. So we just went through Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 through 21. And one of the most interesting things that I find in this is Ezekiel is just, it's in the beginning of the book, and here's God telling him, O son of man, and he's saying, I've called you to be a watchman. And he kind of lays a few things out. He's being a watchman for Israel. He's been given the word of God. God speaks to him. God gives him revelations, and therefore he goes out in obedience and speaks to Israel. This could be an edification on people who are serving God. It could be a word of warning. It could be a need of repentance. But his role is to be the voice of God. And he does this very clearly through his entire book. But as a watchman, he does have certain responsibilities. If the word is great and people are going to like it and enjoy it, he will speak it. If the word is going to be tough, if it's going to bring rebuke to the Israelites, he will speak it. His life will be put in danger. He'll be mocked. But he will be faithful to what God has called him to do. as Christians, we fall into the exact same calling as Ezekiel has. That was a time of prophets. That's when God brought his prophets up and they spoke. But in the New Testament, we have the full revelation of God. We know we have the counsel and we are to speak the oracles of God. Through the New Testament and through the words of Christ, we hear that we are to speak. God gives us messages. We can find that out very clearly when he says in Matthew 28, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and behold, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Go, make disciples. We are to speak and to talk to people's lives. Today, if we are professing Christians and we have made a sound profession of faith, meaning we really have just laid our lives down at the foot of the cross, we are not excused from the very things that God expected from Ezekiel, because you are his child as well. Today, as I go through, and I've had the blessing of being involved with part-time to full-time ministry since 2003, but through that time of being on the street, being a street preacher, going into churches and sharing how to biblically share the faith of Jesus Christ, there is a very alarming concern regarding the title and the role we as watchmen have to usher out the gospel to a lost and dying world. In North America, we are happy with the contemporary Christianity that we have, the complacency of North American Christianity. It is one of those things where we do not want to put ourselves out, put ourselves up, and say, you know what? I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Lord with my entire heart, my entire soul, my entire mind. I'm going to lay my life down and be a watchman and speak as a watchman, regardless if I have rebuke, regardless if I am beat up, if my friends despise me, or it's difficult at work. It's a huge thing. But what we are called to do is we are called to be messengers of this gospel. We are called to be messengers for Jesus Christ. There's two things that we know for sure in Christianity, and every church across North America even today, and we are not excluded from this statement. Those of us in this room are rather A, saved. It doesn't matter if we're struggling. We all struggle, but we are rather saved. We have made a sound profession of Christ. We've accepted the work that was done upon the cross, the resurrection of Christ. We follow him and put our trust in him in faith alone. Or we're playing church. There's only two options. It doesn't matter if we put our best clothes on and come in the mornings. We are rather A, are saved, or B, we're not saved. There's no in the middles with Jesus Christ. For those that are saved, we have to ask the tough questions and we have to come to the realizations that we are called. We are definitely called to be watchmen just like Israel. And because we are called, we have to heed those warnings. If you speak to them and they turn from their wicked ways, great. If you speak to them and they don't turn from their wicked ways, the blood's not on your hands. But if I tell you to say something to someone, but you choose to remain silent, then their blood I'll require at your hands. How often do we live in our life when we go to church, or we go home, or we play hockey, or we go whatever our sport is, or we're just out bowling, and we hear people blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. We see people struggling. We see people broken. We see people reaching out for some kind of hope in this world. But because of the fear of the rejection of man, we choose not to be a watchman. We choose to keep our mouths quiet for the sake of having a quiet, peaceful night out. In the meanwhile, God is saying, I require their blood because they are sinners. I require that they will have to pay the fine for breaking my law. They will be penalized for walking in a way that is not in accordance to my ways. You have the truth. You have my word. I have saved you from the very sins that this person will be condemned for, but yet you have chosen not to speak. And that is why it's important when we read Ezekiel 3 to understand the blood will be on our hands if we choose not to take in the office of a watchman. During this time, I want to be very careful. We are not called to be judgmental. Romans 2 is very, very clear that we are not to judge. However, we are to walk a holy walk. We are to be holy for he is holy. We are to encourage one another. We are to hold one another accountable within our Christian walks. preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is not simply going out and handing out gospel tracts at Tim Hortons or giving the Romans Road presentation of the seven steps to finding peace with God. Preaching the gospel is preaching God. God is the fullness of the gospel, the richness of the gospel. His righteous judgment when he sends sinners to hell is the gospel. In the same sense, when he allows repentance of a sinner and they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that is the gospel. Because God will be glorified no matter what in his perfect execution of his perfect judgment and righteousness. So knowing then, that there's two ways to go. We have this watchman. We know Ezekiel's been called to be a watchman. We know as Christians we're to be called watchmen. We have to ask ourselves a question. What is a watchman? We need to answer these questions because we're held to this. What does a watchman look like? And what are the responsibilities of a watchman? Well, first, a watchman must be somebody who is awake. A watchman cannot be somebody dozing off every second of the day and just plugging his ears and closing his eyes and napping when there was a task to be done. A watchman's duty is to be upon a wall of a gated city, and they are to look out at the approaching enemy that is coming. When the enemy is coming, they are to give the shout and the call. The men will rise up, the men of valor, and then they will go and fight the enemy. What good is a watchman who has fallen asleep? A watchman must never be distracted. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No soldier gets entangled in the civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." How often do we as watchmen get entangled in the civilian pursuits? We're more concerned about the strike and how Edmonton's not going to be able to have a preseason. We're more concerned about the Edmonton Eskimos losing a bunch of games. We're more concerned about the fact that our rifles didn't fire when we went hunting, or so-and-so at work is not being nice to me, or I had to buy coffee this week. All these things that we're being distracted from in the ways of the world are things that should be driving us back to be watchmen of the gospel, see the spiritual side of things, and use as an open door and an opportunity to give that effectual call of the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring forth salvations. We're not to be dozy and kind of sleepish. In Psalm 119:148, it says, "My eyes are awake in the watches of the night that I may meditate upon your promise." We're not to just sit back and watch TV until 11 o'clock and turn the TV off. If we are Christians who have made that sound profession of faith, we must be in the Word. We must know that Word inside and out. I often tell people when I'm training on evangelism classes, if you cannot quote the Bible from front to back and every single verse in it, then you better carry it around every single day. Because it is the words that will not return to him void. It is the words in these Bibles that we all hold today are the saving words of Jesus Christ. Not some message, not some program, but the words. And I tell people, carry it around with you for 21 days, like your car keys or your cell phone. I believe somebody put on Facebook not too long ago, it's amazing, we'll run back to the house for our cell phones so we can make sure we update Facebook, but we will not run back to the house for our Bibles. They must stand in all weather conditions upon the watchtower. This is a big one. As watchmen, we are required to stand in the sleet, the snow, the hail, the darkness. You flip that into the spiritual realm. There is times when it is dark. There is times when it is cold, when it is lonely, when we do not even feel the very Holy Spirit upon us. Are we even saved, but we're still to stand watch and stand guard? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 13 through 18, and don't worry about flipping around all the pages. If you want, write them down, but we're going to go through a lot of scriptures. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand it in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore," again stand, "having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace in all circumstances. Take up the shield of faith." Okay, we've talked about this before in churches all over. The armor of God is the reason why we have it. You don't go out, and when you're a soldier, and I know when I was in the reserves, you didn't go and get all your web gear on, you didn't get the flak stuff on, and weigh 100 pounds heavier, then go try to crawl in your bunk and get a few minutes sleep. When your armor's on, it's because there's a duty and a responsibility for you to take action and go forward and get it done. And we do this by standing firm. I don't think this mic likes me. Now, Ezekiel faced a lot of things in the Old Testament. There was times when he was going up against the prophets of Baal, and there, that's just some awesome stuff that happens there. But there's one thing that we learn about a lot of our Old Testament prophets. They were not cowards. Yes, they struggled. We all struggle. We all struggle with fear. We all struggle with rejection and all this stuff. But we cannot be cowards in our call to be watchmen. Now, as watchmen, I guarantee you, your life will be marked by the enemy. One of the biggest things we forget and neglect in Christianity is that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but the principalities of the air. You are marked if you are a watchman. If a watchman is on the tower and the enemy comes up and they kill the watchman, who's going to give the call? If he is silenced, who is going to give the call? There is nobody, and the camp will be overtaken. Fathers, especially for us, we are the watchmen in our homes. We are the pastors, we are the elders, we're the shepherds, we're the youth group leaders, we are everything, and we are the watchmen. And if we are not standing firmly in the Word of God, prepared with that gospel message to give out every single day, then we are being attacked by the enemy. We do not see it because we're so distracted as watchmen that the enemy is within our camps, and we cannot figure out why our households are going through the roof. Most of all, he must declare that he is what he has heard and seen. Just as Ezekiel, who was a prophet, spoke the things he has seen and heard, we too are commanded to speak and share what we have seen and heard. We are to declare the gospel and alarm the lost and dying world. There's one very clear thing. Hell is real. Touch your chair if you want, stamp your foot on the floor, and hear the sound that it makes so you know it's tangible. It's there, you can see it, you can feel it. Hell is real. The awesome Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down as man, lived, discipled, taught, went on that cross, did everything he had to do, rose again, came back again, gave us more instruction, and now he's left us with his word. Go. Tell them, here in his love, yet while we're set, yet sinners, Christ died for us, but yet we don't give that call. We don't become watchmen. The only thing we're really watching is movies, TV, and distractions. We know now why it's important to have watchmen. We know the importance of it. So now we have to get more into it, but why do we really need them now? Why do we need them today? This is Old Testament, Steve. God's doing a different thing. We're under a new covenant now. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. As I said before, we are now just walking in the new covenant, but the word of God still goes forward. The commands are still there. We just have the full enlightenment of what he has done, and we're walking in a new grace. But we still have to share this. So why do we need a watchman? Just like God gave Ezekiel a message, God has given each and every one of you a message. You may be saying to me, well, what message did he give me, Steve? I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a street preacher. I'm not called to be a pastor. I work 9 to 5. That's my ministry. But the same gospel that saved you and I is the same gospel that saved Paul. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For if I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." That's Paul. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. It's the same Jesus that saved Paul. 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Okay, Steve, I've heard this so many times before. Not a big deal. Okay, if I get around to it, I'll preach it. I'll share the gospel. I can do that. But what message is it that I'm supposed to speak? Are we supposed to speak Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Sure, you can preach that, and then they're going to come back and call you a liar when their friends start despising them for the name of Jesus Christ, when their boss wants to fire them because they won't go out drinking, binging, and anything else. So where's this wonderful life? Where's this wonderful plan? We don't preach that. We speak the truth the way Jesus Christ spoke the truth as faithful watchmen. You're not going to be on the wall and go, "There's some people coming. I don't think we have much to worry about. Hang tight. I'll let you know," and go back to sleep. You're going to give that call, and that call is this, Luke 13:5, Jesus' words. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. There's a theme that we speak. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. I am the Almighty, Jesus Christ. Different translation than my ESV. So here we are in today's age on a Sunday morning. We know that God has given us his infallible, inerrant word of God. There is nothing wrong with this Bible. We don't need to make excuses for it. We do not need to try to apologize for it. We do not need to water it down. And if we find the fact that we are uncomfortable in a situation because we are being faithful watchmen, I say, great. Finally, because as Ledin Ravenhill once said, how is it that the world could not get along with the most holiest man that ever lived, but it gets along with you and I? Are we compromised? We are not of this world. We are a watchman for the kingdom of God. We have been sold, bought. Jesus Christ owns us. We don't have any rights. We have none. We are slaves to the wonderful master who saved us. Think just a little sidetrack. You were dead. I was dead. Our hearts were finished. Just like Lazarus laying in that tomb, there was no heartbeat. There was no blood going through his veins. He was wrapped in the dead cloth of a dead man. The tomb was closed, and even the lady said, don't open that. He is going to stink. Jesus says, arise and come forth, Lazarus, and there was life. He did that for us. If we don't even have a passion to talk about Jesus Christ, if we don't have a passion to give out the warning for those who have not yet received such a wonderful gift of grace, if there's nothing in us that even wants to herald this out of the coming of our King, then we have to reflect and ask, what is it? Are we saved? Have we even been saved? Am I ashamed? And as watchmen, we get ourselves trained properly back in the Word of God. We take a few steps back if we need to, and we get our focus back. And for those who are not saved, in their defense, there's no wonder why they say, why go to church? They live just like us, and nobody reaches out. If I had the cure for cancer, I'd be telling every single person in the face of the earth. If your house was on fire and I knew you were in there, I would kick down that door. I don't care what type of clothing I was wearing, it was flammable nylon. I would do everything I could to drag you out of there. And if I died trying, so be it. But at least I tried. And the Christians are sitting there going, it's Sunday. Put the blinders on. Go to the church. Church is over. Have your coffee. Go back home. But your neighbor, the convenience store worker, Rocky Mountain House, most of the people are not in church today. Family, community, and the world for Jesus Christ. We have to live these words. That's what we're about. And if this church was to burn down tomorrow, would Rocky Mountain House go, wow, we just got a great loss? Would they say that? Would they be like, what church was that? Where was that? I'm not sure about that church. Romans 10:14 says, how then will they call upon him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Romans 10:15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet to those who preach the good news. Watchmen are to preach the good news. We go forward. Granted, we're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be evangelists. But we're certainly all called to make disciples. Our job is to be a faithful watchman upon that wall. If a brother and sister is down, if they're struggling, we hold them accountable. So often we sit there and say, oh, so-and-so's caught in that internet stuff. I'm just going to leave that one alone and wash my hands. No, brother. I'm going to be a faithful watchman. I'm going to put my hand out. I'm going to hold you up in prayer. I'm going to hold you accountable, because my word says that if I don't hold you accountable, that sin might as well be upon me, because I'm letting it happen and I'm letting you get beat up and kicked down by the enemy. That's what we're to do. And with the loss of the dying world, we'll take the same stance on that. I love you so-and-so so much, not because I'm a good person, but because Christ loves me and I'm going to show you that love. And within our buildings, they will know who we are by the love we have for one another. We have to preach it. We have to speak it. Unfortunately, we today in this country, for the most part, are content with what has become a plague of inoculated Christianity. Most of us are okay with a little bit of moralism of Christianity, and we're okay with going to church until the point where it comes and it's going to cost us something. The moment it costs us something, we're out. We're done. And that is a plague in North America. Right now in Vietnam, there are people being shot in the back of the head. Look what's going on in Nigeria right now, where 30 school Muslims were killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. They don't have the options that we do, but they only had one option: deny or die. They'd rather die and be with their Lord. We have become lazy watchmen, watchmen with blindfolds on. We have become distracted by the lukewarmness of it all. And the ironic thing is, the Lord himself condemns this very lukewarmness in Revelation 3:16. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. These are hard words to hear today, and I speak them to myself. The responsibilities of a watchman, point three. We are to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I've already said, the entire counsel of God. We're not to just water it down, and I'm going to go a little bit here. We are not to sell Jesus Christ as a life insurance policy or a fire insurance policy, and let me explain this. Come to Jesus Christ so you can go to heaven. The King of glory, the creator of all things, the one who's put even a heartbeat on the most microscopic organism, and we say, come to him so you can go to heaven. People don't want to go to heaven because Jesus is there. They want to go to heaven to save their own neck. We don't sell a life insurance policy. We preach the gospel in its fullness. But in the same sense, we don't preach a fire insurance policy by saying this: you don't want to go to hell, do you? Who wants to go to hell? I can go out in the field right now and light a fire, and all the snakes are going to come slithering out because they don't want to burn. We preach the glory of God as proper watchmen. When we give the proper counsel of God, that's when things happen. This message is not very common today, and it's not often heard. We are to be versed well in our Bible. We are to read it. We are to eat it. We are to memorize it. Soak in it. As much as you require water, start requiring your word. Wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning if you have to. If you have a busy life, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You are useless without the word of God. David said in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." We can't fear him or know him or rely upon him if we don't know him. We are his watchmen, and yet we don't even know what he's saying. We must never be so focused on getting converts or blinded by the role of a watchman that we end up selling a fake gospel. Our message must be a message of hope. It must be a message that brings reconciliation to a lost sinner, to his Father. As much as we preach the love of God and we preach the necessity of salvation, we also must preach the finality of man for those who perish without a saving faith in Jesus Christ. We must preach what will happen to all those who oppose him. John A. MacArthur says, some of you may know him, I'm sure you do if you listen to the radio, "A gospel that does not confront sin is not the gospel of Jesus Christ." J.C. Ryle says, "Christ is never fully valued until sin is clearly seen. We must know the depth of malignity, the intense hatred of our disease, in order to appreciate the great physician." We are to preach the wrath to come. As watchmen, we must not neglect such verses as Galatians 5:19 through 21, because a watchman gives a proper warning. We often quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." How true is that? How beautiful is that scripture? Let's not forget what Jesus says just a few verses down in 3:36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." We are to make sure that we can preach our eschatology, meaning the end, things that bring forth to the end, the finalization of things to come, Christ's return. We are declaring truth that God is not dead. He is a coming victorious king. He is coming back to take his bride home. How awesome is that message? Our struggles, our pain, our fears, our griefs. Often we're the only ones that know in the morning when we weep out in God because we blew it the other day. We completely disgrace the name of God, just like, you know, when Peter denied Christ. We all know our dark secrets. We know our sins that have us. How beautiful is it to know that when we repent, our Christ is coming to take us home and we're his bride. That he loves us so much that he gave his life for us. That is what we need to be preaching to people. You are loved. He says in Revelation 22, three times, I am coming. Adrian Rogers discovered that the return of Christ is mentioned over 380 times in Scripture. It's interesting. You might be saying this message is too hard. You might be saying, Steve, this is great, but you sound like a Baptist fundamentalist. And that is good because the word fundamental means serving as an essential part of something, the beginning. We need to get back to the biblical principles. It doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal and you believe in speaking in tongues and healings and visions. It doesn't matter if you're an Alliance or a Baptist or a Presbyterian. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you have been soundly saved, then you have a responsibility to be a faithful watchman. You may not know how to share. This may be the first time you're like, oh, this is great, Steve. You've hammered us with a pretty big stick, but how do I share this gospel? What does it look like? How do I go from all this stuff that you just laid upon me? Well, it's not my words. It's Christ's words. I want to say that regardless you've been saved for 60 years, 6 years, you might not even be saved yet. The most refreshing thing you can ever hear is the biblical counsel of God and the gospel. It is what saved us. We don't grow old of it. We don't go, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't need to read that anymore because I'm kind of elevated here. You know, I don't really need to hear about how I got my faith in Jesus Christ. I got it together. I'm going to ask that you forgive me because I'm about to read verbatim what I have written here. But when I was praying about this message, I'm like, well, how do I close this message? And it's give the gospel, the biblical gospel. Be a watchman and share with fellow watchmen on what should we be preaching. And here it is. We are condemned men. I do not mean a minor condemnation, but one of great judgment. Hebrews 9:27. That is so pure, so perfect, that to be judged in its entirety, it is the most fearful thing you can imagine, and that still will not do it proper justice. Hebrews 10:31. You should write these scriptures down if you want. They're in there. It's the same book that talks about grace. You see, when you look around the world today, you see a world under much wickedness. This wickedness is present because the heart of man is so wicked. God in his righteousness must condemn wicked men. Proverbs 11:21. In fact, for those who do not follow him according to his word, his wrath remains on them. John 3:36. You see, every day man walks around fulfilling every desire their heart possesses. These desires are destructive and as deadly as a scorpion sting and a massive heart attack. We lie, Exodus 20:16. We steal, Exodus 20:15. We covet, Exodus 20:17. And we commit adultery, Exodus 20:14. And Matthew even clarifies that if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her. So walking along the locker rooms and checking out all the sunshine girls is just as bad as actually committing the act in the eyes of God. We even use the name of the living God as a blasphemous swear word. Even our hatred as murder, Matthew 5:22. In fact, if there was no civil justice, as fallible as it is, the world in which we live in will be much more dangerous because of the wickedness of our hearts. So we have then a clear conscience breaking of the law of God that cannot and will not simply be pardoned by human standards. Ephesians 8, right? For we have been saved through faith, right? It's a gift of God. In Exodus 34:6-7, it says, though the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin. He says that, but you must remember, though he is all the above, he hates sin, Proverbs 6. He will demand that his law that was put into effect will be satisfied because he is righteous. But he, God, will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. That's the second half of the verse I just read. So now we have a clear understanding of the severity of the condemnation and justice of God. Understand this. It is a very serious issue. No good works will ever satisfy or pardon our wickedness, nor will it justify us before God. No religious custom or practice can suffice. You can go to church, you can sing in a choir, and you can even serve in a humanitarian mission. But the fact remains that you are as guilty and condemned as you were before. So then, how do we escape such a fate? A watchman just says, we're doomed. How then do we say there is salvation coming? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's say that verse one more time. That he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth as a perfect man so that the eternal plan of God would be fulfilled. Hebrews 5, 9 through 10. Meaning that God demanded justice, and the justice, the wrath of God, was poured out on his Son, Jesus. The Son of God bore the sins, the lying, the stealing, the adultery, the covetousness of his people. He took the punishment of the law, he bore our guilt and became a curse. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse by becoming the curse. Let's look at Isaiah 53 to just hammer this a little more and then we'll close. Isaiah 53:3 says that he was despised and rejected by men. For surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was crushed for our iniquities. 6. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It keeps going. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that was before its shears, he was silent. This is your Savior. Just remember that. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. These verses tell us what was done. Us here today, saved or not, it is rather a reminder or a call to repent. We deserve the entire wrath of God for the wickedness that we live in and the saturation of sin we walk in every day. We cannot neglect such verses as Isaiah 10 or 53:10. It was the will of the Lord to crush him because God was pouring out wrath on his Son instead of you. But here's the conclusion. If you have never heard the gospel, if you heard it 100 times before, here's the good news. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Meaning that what was done on the cross satisfies the justice of God. Because of the perfect, amazing love of God, he made sure that we can be reconciled between us and him. He made sure that we can have eternal life through his Son. For those who have ears, say, let him hear. And for those who have a heart, I pray that it be softened to receive this message. How can we confidently say that God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love? Because of his amazing love, we can be justified, we can be pardoned, we can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. How can this be? Because though he was crucified and laid in a tomb, 3 days later, he was resurrected. Jesus Christ, if you profess him, is your Savior and has given you a duty. Don't neglect it. Therefore, if you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ today, I ask that you repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, listen to the words of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hear the words of a watchman today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, don't prolong it. Don't come in here today. Steve, you preached a hard message. How dare you? I didn't come to church to have a guilt trip. It's not my words. If you think this is a guilt trip, wait to the day of judgment if you do not have Christ as your Savior. Because there's only two possibilities. You're going to bow to him as your God or bow to him as your judge. If you've known the Lord, but have neglected the task of being a faithful watchman, I'm not saying that you're a rotten sinner, a horrible Christian. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all require every day a need of repentance. But let this be a day of change, saying, okay, today's a day of change. How do I do this? Talk to the elders and the pastors on staff. Ask for Bibles. How do you get my hands on gospel tracts? Go to websites like waythemaster.com. If you don't agree with his style, go to other ministries that effectively teach you how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied. You're going to hear those words, job well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come where there's a place prepared for you. Be a faithful watchman. Most of all, live out your Bible. Don't let it sit on your bookshelf after today and only pull it out next Sunday to hear what the preacher has to say. Live it. Read it. Next time you look at your neighbor, ask, are you being a faithful watchman? Next time your brother's in sin, should you lift him up in prayer? Should you talk to him? Ask him how it's going? We're in this battle together for those of us who are saved. And again, if you're not, all I can say is Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We serve a great God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your words. And Lord, often, even as we read, Lord, when you were here, you were not received, Lord, by the very Israelites, Lord, who professed the laws of your Father. I ask today, Lord, for those who are saved, Lord, that they would get a fire in their heart, Lord, that you would teach them and guide them in the ways that they are to be faithful watchmen, just as you called Ezekiel. That they would be faithful to speak a message if it is hard or easy. But Lord, for those who are not, I pray, God, that you would remove the calluses from their eyes and give them a brand new heart, that they would be able to receive your words and show them, Lord, that you are love, that you are pure and you are holy, and that today you are willing, Lord, to receive them into your kingdom. I ask, Lord, that you be with us for this day as we are all going to leave here and do thanksgiving. I pray that we remember, Lord, our true thanks is because yet while we were sinners, you died for us. And you reconciled us unto yourself that we may live. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. I think that's a perfect intro for communion. So